If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to Thursday Night Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim, and guess what, my friends? Emily Steffos is with here as my guest. Yeah!
Hello! I'm so happy to be back.
It is just us girls in the studio, except for Conrad. Conrad is here keeping us in charge. Come on now.
Check.
Say hello, Conrad.
How's it going?
There he is. There he is, Conrad with a K. He's on the board tonight. Looking forward to getting everybody's text. Don't forget to download that Civic Media app. So I have Emily today. This doesn't get to happen very often, but I snuck her in on the calendar. Em, tell everybody what you've been up to.
A lot and nothing at all. I don't know. It is. It's December. We went to Walt Disney World last month.
Why?
I don't know. We have children that were looking forward to seeing Mickey and all his friends. So we did the thing. We're not doing it again for quite a while. But that was fun. I think my kids are listening. It was so fun, kids.
Yay. Yeah. Maybe I didn't win Mother of the Year because I never took my children to Disney anything. Oh. I did take them to Hershey.
That's impressive too. There's chocolate there.
On the way to DC.
Oh. Well, that's a little bit of a letdown at the end.
I don't know. I wanted to show the kids history. I thought it was great, but I never did the Disney thing.
Oh, well, the light and magic in their eyes was definitely worth it. But again, as a parent, I'm like exhausted by the end.
Did you take out a mortgage?
It is not cheap to be there. We definitely had to plan for that trip. Financially,
it's a lot, but you all made it back.
We did. Yeah,
that's good.
Thanksgiving, kids are we're all surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So, mm-hmm. You know, here we are in the Rational Revolution again. Our job is to try and find some civility in conversations. Politics tends to be involved in there, so we might as well talk politics a little bit, don't you think?
I think probably.
Okay, let's start out with the week in review. What would you like to talk about in the week in review?
Ooh, you always do this to me when I'm on the show. You ask me these questions. I don't know if I'm quite prepared for them.
You don't have to be prepared. But, it's a conversation,
right.
Not a test.
Let's talk about fake electors lawsuit.
Okay.
Yeah, that ended this week. Finally, 3 years, I think, in the making.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's not has been paying attention. So there was a civil lawsuit mm-hmm. that came down with the fake electors in Wisconsin. Six of them?
Ten.
I think? Oh, ten. Mm-hmm. And all 10 acknowledged in writing that it was a farce.
Yes.
And Joe Biden had won and blah, 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 blah. I guess my question is, who cares? What did we accomplish by that?
I don't know, because I feel like part of it, I mean, it has to happen because, like, when you think back to 2020 and just the precarious moment that we found ourselves in, like, I think accountability is important, right? If you know that this is a farce and you mm-hmm. know that this is untrue mm-hmm. and you continue to work actively to undermine the will of the people, like, that's problematic to me.
Do you think there maybe should have been some consequence, though? I mean, from what I understand, the consequence was that they had to acknowledge on paper that they had done it, that it was wrong, and they're not going to serve on any electoral commissions or election commissions in 2024.
Yes, that is my understanding as well. And I think, like, in Michigan, there were charges brought against those, you know, like, different things happen in different states, but here in Wisconsin.
Right. So we only had a civil trial that was brought not by the state of Wisconsin, not by our attorney general. It was just civil. So again, you know, my issue on a lot of these conversations is those that believe. Those that don't. Are the ones whose mind have we changed by these actions?
I don't know. I do feel like the damage has been done in that you've already sowed seeds of doubt and, you know, like that's what's so, I think, offensive to me and why I'm like, to think that people would continue to repeat lies that are as serious as this is like so problematic to me. But to know that they've worked actively against like the clerks, like all the good people that are keeping our election safe and have been for as long as they've served, like it does such a disservice in so many different facets of what this whole electoral process, what our government's supposed to be. So That's my.
And yet, those that continue to push out the, you know, blather, mm-hmm. aren't the ones reading the newspaper.
I know.
They aren't the ones listening to talk radio. They don't care because they live in a world.
But that's why you're here with this program, offering them rational thought.
Yes.
You're not going down the rabbit holes on either side.
All right.
I appreciate it.
So good news is, yes, they acknowledge they were guilty, and maybe those independents or rational thinking conservatives heard that.
Yeah.
And take that as a step. Let's move on to the debates. Did you watch the debates?
I did not. I was at a something for my child.
I so enjoy watching them. I got to tell you, it's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And what I will tell you is that, I mean, Nikki Haley got the backing of the Koch brother, mm-hmm. or the Koch Foundation, I think is the right way to say that, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal that they're not on the Trump wagon. But so that meant that two of the guys went hard at her.
Right.
Especially on the front end. The dude from Florida, who is DeSantis, who is a very entertaining, and the Vivek guy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Meanwhile, Chris Christie is leaning in the corner like, all right, well, when you're done, bring it to me.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I wouldn't vote for any of them. However, the words that come out of Chris Christie's mouth are the truth. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely the
truth.
He's
just done. You know, like...
Well, he's calling it what it is,
right?
Which, again, I think has value when we talk about who's paying attention. First, I don't think the base is actually watching the Republican debates.
Mm-hmm.
I think the curious are, and maybe some conservatives. But in the end, Chris Christie is the one standing in the corner saying, you realize that he may not be on the general ballot.
Right.
He is unfit. He has said this. He is absolutely utilizing, you know, in his grudge method, he intends on using everything in his power to get back at those that don't like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and he says that from the podium.
Right.
Chris Christie will never win.
Right.
But I appreciate the fact that he is a straight shooter,
mm-hmm.
like him or not, Bridgegate or not. You know what? At least he's telling the truth.
Right.
And he effectively tried to get the others on the stage to acknowledge the fact, and they won't.
That is, yeah.
Says a lot about them.
We are living through some strange times.
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
Very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
What time we got? So this week, I don't know about you, but I have spent an awful lot of time talking to potential candidates for local races. Yes, we both have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to have a conversation about why that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who thinks they may or may not be interested in local politics and who should be interested in local politics and why.
Yeah.
And I think we'll kind of start that conversation out by, you know, everybody talks about where we are in politics right now. Mm-hmm. The true vitriol, right? The polar ends that people are standing on, and everyone's mad. The Democrats are mad because we're not getting what we want. The Republicans are mad because they don't seem to be getting what they want. Everybody's mad.
Mm-hmm.
What part of that do we own as the general public who may not have been involved in politics all their lives? They're just normal people trying to get along. What part of that problem do we own?
I feel like I will speak to my personal experience, and I guess like I feel like there's been a complacency that has existed previously that the seeping in of whatever this is, like it's almost like a cancer, like a rot, you know, that has been happening, I think, for, you know, years and years and years. And we've normalized things that were never normal previously with previous administrations, things like that. We've normalized like othering people and dehumanizing people or based on their political parties, based on their belief, based on their gender orientation, all of those things.
Yeah.
And so I think that the slow seepage that has existed has kind of crept in unbeknownst to us. Like we've kind of been like, oh, there's just like a one-off event, or that was just like that one guy. But really, we've seen like a morphing, a transforming of political parties and ideologies and just like what's okay to say nowadays.
I wonder how many of us in Wisconsin woke up one day to realize that the maps were wrong. You know what I mean? Many people knew this was going on. Mm-hmm. Many people have been following this and actively involved, but most of us haven't.
No.
Most people still today do not understand the term gerrymandering and how it applies.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't understand, because of the gerrymandering and the maps, what has changed in Madison. And I think we have to start talking about getting involved, because coming at it, playing defense on anything is usually bad.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, I think everybody right now, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but I would say about 60% of the population of Wisconsin realizes that there's something out of whack.
Right. Right.
There's something out of whack, and it happened on our watch.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of getting involved, how much did you know about politics the first time you showed up to anything political?
Not a lot, because it was right after the 2016 election,
mm-hmm.
and I was just incensed by what I was seeing happening. And I, you know, I showed up in a space where, honestly, I was a white woman that was showing up to a protest with a sign, and that was like it for me. Like, yeah. That's all I thought I was going to get involved in. But then after, you know, like, you get into those spaces and you talk to those community members, mm-hmm. or those organizations that are doing necessary work, and you're like, oh my God, I had no idea that this was such an issue for so many people, and it's heartbreaking and infuriating. And then once you start learning little tidbits, you can't turn it off, and you just want to know more and be more involved.
I love that you said that, because the willingness to put yourself in a situation that perhaps you're uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and then the willingness to learn and listen in that environment, and the acknowledgement that our thoughts of the past may not have been right.
Yeah.
Right? And it's always a scary thing to acknowledge that we're wrong. Well, sometimes we're not wrong. We just don't know that we're not right.
Right. And you have to put yourself in those situations to be given the opportunity to grow in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think the number one thing in, if you're going to put yourself out there, are you willing to listen?
That's such a big
part. Are you willing to learn and then adjust your mindset based on that new information?
I love that.
It really is a big deal. We'll talk more about it coming on the backside of the break. Listen, we are the Rational Revolution. I'm so excited to have Emily Sheffos back with me. We should be getting a text from Nick anytime.
Anytime now, Nick.
On the backside, we are going to talk more about local politics, how we can get involved, what kind of skill set you need to do so, and we're going to have a sneak peek with talking about the nightlife with Pete Schwab a little later also. Come on back on the backside. Chris. Welcome back, everybody. It's Chris Alfheim with the Rational Revolution. My guest, the original, the OG, Emily Sheffos, is here with us tonight. And we are talking about local politics. And, you know, that could be municipal, it could be a city, it could be town, it could be county, it could be whatever. And really kind of what it means and who could be involved and the effects of doing that. And so Emily just shared with us, you know, when she stepped in the door, what she learned. For me, I had been involved on a national level for mm-hmm. about 10 years. We had, I would go to Madison in D.C. and talk about Alzheimer's, caregiver issues, curing the disease, that type of stuff. And I also went on tax issues, and not corporate tax, but mom and pop, you know, mom and dad kitchen table tax issues. And I enjoyed doing that. I realized in the 10 years that I had done that our elected officials aren't perfect.
Right.
They are people who have expertise in wherever they come from, whether they came from a farm, whether they were a realtor. You know, everybody comes from someplace. And no matter who you are, you can't know all the answers. So learning that our elected officials in Madison and D.C. are just normal people that want to do their best in understanding issues helped me realize that very confidently I could have conversations with anybody. And I knew, in fact, Eric Genrich, I used to meet with him when he was an assemblyman. And he came into my office one time when my office was here in downtown Green Bay. And we came in and we were talking a little bit on taxes or something like that. And on the way out, he said, hey, what do you think about that Alzheimer's bill and blah, blah, blah. And I shared with him my thoughts and he, you know, gave me a thumbs up and ran away. He was going to vote on that issue. And I realized in that moment, I got a big grin on my face because it was the first time that I realized that my efforts in helping an elected official understand an issue for the greater good of the community worked.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. Yesterday, as an example, I got to attend the bill signing in Madison for something that I have been working on with one of my organizations for, again, 10 years, which is financial education in high schools, mandatory financial education. And we finally got it passed. It took 10 years.
Wow.
10 years.
Wow.
Bipartisan. Both sides. I testified on the assembly hearing on it a few months back,
mm-hmm.
and worked very hard in urging people that I had relationships with on that committee to work at it. And they did. And actually, Christina Shelton did a great job. She leads that committee on the assembly side, and they worked it out. And I look at it as that's what we're supposed to do. As the public is meant to go out there and advocate for important things,
mm-hmm.
and then our elected officials are going to try and make things work in the situation that we're in to the best of their ability.
Right.
And that's what we all do. So at a local level, I think that the fear of most people is that politics is hard. Politics is ugly. I don't know anything. I've never done anything like that before. Well,
right.
Neither did we.
Right. I think there's like such a misconception that there's some sort of bar you have to reach or some sort of level of success or knowledge in order to make you a like viable or good qualified candidate. And that's just not true.
It's not true.
Yeah.
I think that the best qualities of an elected official are the ability to ask good questions,
mm-hmm.
the ability to listen to and actually hear the information without bias. And then the ability to sort through and be able to comprehend what you've learned and then be able to educate others on that same issue.
Right.
To me, it was the best thing about running for Senate last year. The amount of information that I had to learn was immense.
I can't even imagine.
It was immense and it was fabulous. If you like learning, you would take in the information as fast as you could, digest it, and then immediately be able to explain it at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost like a puzzle building mindset, right? It isn't that I walked into it with knowledge. It's that I walked in with the ability to ask questions, willingness to learn. And like we said earlier, I learned that I was wrong.
Right.
I learned that there were a number of issues that either I didn't know anything about or my opinions on things were uneducated.
And I think that that's like for me as a candidate now, but like that's paramount for me to be able to say that anyone that I'm going to vote for or support or, you know, like yourself as a candidate, like that when you receive information that changes what you had perceived to be true,
mm-hmm.
you need to act. You know, like you can't let ego get in the way or money or whatever it is. Like it needs to be for the good of the people that you're supposed to represent.
Yeah.
And if that means that you have to shift your mind a little bit or your perspective, then please do that.
Yeah.
Like it's the least you're supposed to be doing as a public official.
Right. And I do think that again, now we can go back to the line conversation, but if all things were drawn a little bit more fairly,
mm-hmm.
right? If there were no more than a 5-point advantage on any side at any given time. And there will always be a lean to the red because of our rural area. So I'm not looking for a 50-50. But in most areas, if it's a legitimately, you know, no more than a 5-point plus or minus, we all have to act in the best interest of all of the people, whether they vote for us or not.
Right. You're going to be held accountable. Like
right.
It's built in.
So I think this is where I see challenges. If you know that 60% of the state or 60% of your constituents feel one way,
mm-hmm.
how do you keep voting differently? Because that's what I have an issue with.
Right.
in the end, and there's, we're all going to have supporters. We're all going to have organizations that, you know, are backing us or this and that. But there should be no point in time where 100% of the time someone knows your answer on it.
Right.
There can't be. You can't always have what you want. It depends on the situation and what's going on.
That, yeah. So I think like to like the speak to the local, you know, like the local candidates, what you need to know if you're considering running for something like county board or something like that, you need to, it's always about the people. Like they should come first before anybody else or anything else, because that's, we're all getting into this to make our communities better for everybody. And that sometimes means that you're going to find out things that you didn't think to be true or that you didn't agree with.
Right.
But you need to act so that the people are represented.
You know, and I think that a lot of times people are afraid, you know, if, and I think that the, on the federal level, you can see this, people that have stood by, you know, things on the Trump side, I think that a rational person with all of the information that has come out without being a over the top hater, right? I think that rational thinkers are looking at the body of issues saying, huh, you know, maybe not to say we're going to throw anybody under the bus for everything that was wrong, but I'm not sure that I can stand. I'm not sure that I can stand on the side of that individual anymore.
Right.
And I would hope that, again, with facts, with validation and the body of information that's out there, that we have to see that. Now the question is, what's everybody going to do about it?
Right.
And can they put that pride to the side and make sure that we have someone who actually will try to do the best for all of us that we can?
Yep. It's got to be us.
It's going to be interesting. All right. We are heading into our next break again. I have Emily with us. I can see on our text line that people are loving having us back together.
I'm happy
again.
To be back.
I know. You know I'd have her every day if I could. Rational Revolution. Come on back after the break.
If you'd like to join the Rational Revolution and engage, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and click on the text button in the lower right-hand corner. Looking at today's issues through a politically purple lens, this is the Rational Revolution. And once again, here's Chris Elfheim.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution, everybody. I'm Chris Elfheim. I am here with my friend Emily Sefos as a guest. Whoop whoop!
Hello, hello, hello.
I know you're all excited to hear her as well. Listen, do download that app, Civic Media. I went down to Madison and back yesterday for a couple of meetings, and I enjoyed having that app on my phone because I really don't want to play with my dial in trying to figure out what channel I might find something to listen to. Mm-hmm. So I just Bluetooth my little app in there, and I could listen to the show that I chose. So use that app. It's very handy. And I got to tell you, the Civic Media is doing a great job of adding to their repertoire of
it's
shows.
True.
There's a lot of people on there. Tonight we got Pete Schwabba. He's actually in studio with us here tonight. We're going to say hello, but he's on in the evenings. I really enjoy the shows that they're doing. Again, a lot of different ideas, different topics. So take advantage. Get that app downloaded, the Civic Media. Now, next topic. Liz Cheney.
All right.
Liz Cheney. Now, I want to talk about Liz Cheney because she just released her book, and so she's got some interviews going down right now. And she is an interesting character. If everybody remembers, she was on the big, you know, January 6th. She had that whole committee. And her book is pretty scathing. I mean, it's
sold out on Amazon.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she is just a straight shooter. I mean, everybody knows her dad is Dick Cheney. I mean, you can't get more conservative than that guy.
Yeah.
And she is a true conservative. Don't anyone think otherwise. She is a red-blooded conservative, but she is a traditional conservative as opposed to nonsense follower. And there's a lot of nonsense. You know, what Liz Cheney said in an interview yesterday was that she will do everything in her power to keep Donald Trump from winning.
Yes.
And in that conversation, she also acknowledged this whole third party thing. And the third party, it she acknowledges, will do nothing but help him win. if he ends up on the ballot.
Yeah, because she said she wasn't going to launch a third party run if he's the nominee.
And I like that she's saying this again, because again, this is trying to be our purple side of the conversation. A rational Republican, Congressman Reed Ribble, was with us the other night and has said the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pointing out the wrongs that have gone on in the last decade and not wanting to repeat it. And the people that are getting elected, and this is a Madison issue as well, and in some cases locally, there are people that are coming out of the woodwork that have very, very narrow mindsets.
Right.
Very narrow. And they are running on those issues. Then they get into Madison, they get into D.C., and they do not have the qualities that we talked about earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They are not willing to listen. They are not willing to learn. They make no augmentation of their attitudes or perceptions with new knowledge. And I think that's also getting frustrating for the Republicans.
Right. I think that in that interview, Liz Cheney said that if we're not careful, we're going to sleepwalk into a dictatorship at the federal level. But I do think that if to your point, and we talked about, you know, papers are drawn for, have been able to be drawn now for the April elections. And if we're not careful locally, state level, down through things like school boards, county boards, town councils, all of those things, there are people with an agenda that is they're hell-bent on passing that agenda and championing that agenda. And it does not matter what anybody in the community wants. And we have to be careful about not having, because there is a space, I believe, for, us to have rational discussions, for moderate people to learn new things and kind of just toe that middle line, because that's what we're supposed to be doing if we're truly representing, folks. But there are so many people now that are not going into office for that. Yeah. And that's why it's so important that locally, if you're seeing that happen, one of the best things you can do is run for office.
Absolutely.
And there should be no inclination that you are not qualified.
Absolutely.
If you're considering running for, if you need to hear this, if you're considering running for office, you should do it. Yeah. If you have the best interest of your community at heart.
Right. And I would challenge, no matter what side you lean on.
Right.
Truly. Because I think what's happening is that everybody is sitting back blaming the money, which the money is an issue.
Yeah.
But we tend to hear that people are blaming the lobbyists, the lobbyists, the lobbyists, get the lobbyists out. You know, lobbyists wouldn't be necessary, or the money wouldn't be there if people weren't capable of being bought.
Right.
You know, so it's the individuals that are getting elected. Imagine if we actually had balanced government and everybody had to bend a little bit in order to move forward.
Right.
The lobbyists would be back in a position of saying, here's what we need and why on both sides. And then a rational leader would then have to make the best decision in finding a compromise that moves people forward without hurting anybody
else. Take me to this utopia that you speak of.
But that's what it is.
Sounds lovely.
In order to get there, you need to have rational people that are listening, learning, and doing the best they can.
Right.
Again, I was in Madison yesterday, and a group came up to me that is traditionally on the side of the red. And they made it very clear that they almost changed to me last year. And they chances are this year, because in the end, they want someone who understands their industry and they can at least have a conversation and educate, knowing that I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm rational and I'm capable of learning and diagnosing the situation. And it's not going to be an automatic no, and it's not going to be an automatic yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what leadership is.
Right.
We are now to the point where, because people are afraid to put their hand in, the people that are raising their hand are yes people. They're just yes people.
Yeah.
They're going to nod because they don't know otherwise. That's bad.
Right.
How do we fix it?
We get people that are...
We have to show up.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
We do.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what it means. And again, I don't care what side of the line you're on. I would rather have a competent, strong communicator on either side that is willing to listen and learn than anybody that is all one or the other.
Especially now, because the April elections are nonpartisan. For the, I mean, like, yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? So let's talk about these positions. Let's talk about city council. I've been on city council about 3 years. Yep. We can talk about county board. We can talk about school board. What is it, you know, let's talk about what it looks like if you're going to put your hat in the ring. This is the time.
Right.
Right. Now mm-hmm. is the time where you can draw papers, creating a candidacy. But what does it look like? You know, what when you have that position, let's talk about it so that people understand what they're saying yes or no to.
Oh, for sure.
On the city council, mm-hmm. I can tell you that coming in, again, I did not have all the answers. I also wasn't mad about anything. I just knew that I was a decent communicator and problem solver, and I thought I would be able to add value to my community.
Right.
And I still stand on that. I am absolutely kind of a moderate in terms of the council. But what it looks like on a weekly basis, once you're elected, you have usually two committees, mm-hmm. which means you would meet on for an hour on the even week, so the second and the fourth week. I have committee meetings. So that equates to 2 hours every other week. And then the council itself meets on the first and the third Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And those are roughly hour and a half, sometimes longer than that, meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the average council person probably puts in total 8 to 12 hours a week in reading emails, responding to emails, communicating. Some do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I've got some wonderful colleagues that are extremely thorough in emails and newsletters and that type of stuff. I don't have that ability. Mm-hmm. Schedule-wise, I cannot commit at that level. But you, again, find where you're at. Most of those meetings take place after 4:30. So they're not during the day. Some committees do, but you mm-hmm. have some control on that. At the county level, there's many more county people.
Yeah.
And if you look on, in my case, the Outagamie site, you'll see that most board members are on one or two committees.
Yeah.
So I think the average is probably 3, maybe 4 meetings per month.
Mm-hmm.
What about school board? I'm not as familiar.
School board, I know, meets once monthly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there are working committees for them as well. I can't speak to that. I know that it's less than, you know, it's 8 to 10 hours a week is my understanding as well. Yeah. So
I don't think there's anybody on the planet that goes into a normal week saying, I've got an extra 8 to 10 to give.
No, that's true.
And yet the reality is we all have time to give. I mean, we can. It's a matter of, do you see it as an opportunity or an obligation?
Right. And I think like the, you know, those county board positions like to speak to a little bit, because I mean, as a city council member, you are, can you tell us what your, you know, like, what is your purview? Like, what are you making decisions on for the city of Appleton?
Well,
I mean, not, you know, don't.
I mean, in terms overview. Of, yeah, in terms of committees, so you've got safety and licensing, which could be permits, who can, has alcohol licenses, tobacco licenses, that kind of stuff, taking away with demerit points if there's a bar that's got issues going on. So public safety and that type of stuff. Then you have public works and municipal services. So municipal services is everything. I mean, everything. Public works is a big department. So that one, municipal services, we're dealing with roads, we're dealing with water, sidewalks.
Do you think it's accurate to say that like the county board does this, like operates under the same premise, but at the county level? So you've got like county roads that need to be maintenanced and all, you know, like all of those things.
Yeah, it's a bigger version. And they have the county jail, which we don't have,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's a few
different
more things
services.
On it. They've got the landfill, that type of stuff. But, you know, you could be on, there's library boards, there's HR and IT. So you know where the staffing is, wages, that type of
and
stuff.
And that same kind of stuff, like, is what the school, you know, obviously there's curriculum and instruction and all of that with at the school board level. But, like, understand for anyone considering candidacy, like, they are not, these entities make news a lot of times or lately because there's been, tumult in mm-hmm. that there are people that are looking for trouble, you know, like looking to pass an agenda rather than actually working on making their communities better.
Right.
And what they're trying to do, what people like Chris on the city council are trying to do, and our county board members and our school board members, is keep things running and keep them running smoothly and make them better,
right,
for the people that are receiving services or a part of, you know, those communities.
Yeah. I mean, the responsibility of these boards is to manage a budget and services, mm-hmm, to take care of the residents.
Yeah.
And that's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. It isn't about all one or the other. And I've probably been guilty in the past of thinking, well, you know, you balance your budget at home, why wouldn't you do it in government? That's not really the way it works. It doesn't work that way. And then you have outside influences and differences that cause chaos.
Right.
So, most of us could sit back and say, how come our property taxes are going up? Most of us aren't involved enough to go back and look and say, well, it's because the shared revenue at the state level,
right,
was changed 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're now trying to run at, you know, almost 40% behind where we were a decade, right, ago. That is a direct correlation,
yeah,
to elected officials, maps, and you.
Right.
Right.
I know.
But we don't know that unless we're involved. And we also sometimes get frustrated, right? We get frustrated. Why can't we just do this? Why, mm-hmm, can't we just do that? Well, the answer is, as opposed to being frustrated, learn, right?
Show up.
Even if you don't want to run, which I hope you do, come to a meeting.
Right.
Listen, right? And what tends to happen at these meetings is we have people show up that are passionate about one issue. So if we're looking at putting in a development in a neighborhood, they are passionate for or against it. Mm-hmm. If we're looking at, you know, doing something with a park, they are passionate for or against it. And then nobody pays attention to anything else, mm-hmm, until it affects them.
Right.
And, yep, then it's big. Oh, is that Janis Joplin coming on?
It sounds like it.
It sure is. That must be. We're heading into our last break. This is Chris Shelf. I'm Emily Sheffos here with the Rational Revolution. We hope you're enjoying our conversation. We're enjoying having it. Come on back after Bobby McGee. We'll see you on the next side.
To New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
It's Chris Elham. Rational Revolution. You know you want a revolution. It's just being able to have a civilized conversation about topics that matter to us. And that's what Emily and I are trying to do tonight. So we've been talking about, obviously, politics, but really more so in the candidate type of thing and whether someone can or should look into running.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, again, town boards, county boards, city councils, state positions. There's all kinds of stuff. And I think what we're trying to get at is that you don't have to be pre-qualified to be qualified to represent your community.
Right.
You have to be rational.
Right.
You have to be willing to learn, willing to be wrong, and willing to speak for the greater good in your community.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, let's talk about what it feels like to run.
Okay.
What it feels like to run for, let's talk about more local. So city, county, town, school board, that kind of thing. Let's talk about the process. So the first thing, and you obviously just went through this, so the first thing has to do with papers. So let's talk about what that means, papers and signatures.
Yeah, so December 1 was the first day that papers could be, or signatures could begin to be collected. So there were a lot of candidates like down and out of Gamey County that are running for those local positions that took out their paperwork earlier, and that just is sort of the candidate declaration statement, but it doesn't mean you're on the ballot. So now they are collecting signatures, and some of them have already turned them in because some of the collection numbers are what, like 50, 70 for certain positions?
I think city council is like 25.
Right. Yeah. Very low numbers. So that's like a very easy ask. Mm-hmm. And so they've already, there are many candidates that have already turned those in, but I believe those are due January 2nd or 4th. something like that, like the first week of January, they're due. So it's a weird time because of the holidays. So a lot of the folks are just trying to like hit it hard right now,
right,
and then turn those signatures in, which means they're officially on that April ballot.
And those forms, where do they gather the forms?
You can get them with like the county or the county or town clerk. You can get them on their websites. I mean, all of them are really available on the website. You can also go to the Wisconsin Election Commission website, WEC, and grab them there, print right. them off.
So one page is saying who you are and what you're basically filing and creating a committee.
Yep.
And then if there's any finances involved, then the financial board knows who you are. Most of the time we're going to be exempt.
Right.
So unless you're spending really more than, I think, $600,
mm-hmm.
Which honestly on a city council and a county board, most people don't spend.
That's
that.
What's so cool about, like, you don't have to be no. seeking out mega donors or anything like that.
No,
it's
no,
like
no.
it's literally talking to people up and down the street.
Yeah. In fact, I met with somebody today that was interested in joining. And I asked her the first question when she got serious about it was, do you like talking to people?
Yeah.
And the second question was, do you mind walking and talking to strangers that live in your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is, you know, don't mind it at all, well, then the answer is, okay, good. Carry a notepad and collect the emails as you go.
Right.
Because not only do you want to represent them well, but you want to be able to communicate with them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, whoever works the hardest on the ground in a fair fight will win.
Right.
And on the city council and the county board, it is a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's not a lot of backside involvement that happens once you get into the state level.
But can I say, like, cynic in me, is that we talked about, like, the nefarious characters that mm-hmm. are entering the political scene. Getting in on the ground level is easier
yes.
for nefarious characters. And once you're there, you have a platform to launch yourself to a higher office. You know, like there's a trajectory
yeah.
that we need to remember. And so again, there's no minimum requirement. These positions are keep our communities running.
Yeah.
And they are necessary. And if you are thinking about it, now's the time.
Yeah, you have to. And the idea that, well, somebody else will do it. I don't know if you've paid attention to who some of these candidates have been in the past. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first ran for city council, I didn't know anything. I just stumbled into it. I hadn't claimed a party. I didn't have a team behind me. I just went and got the piece of paper because my alder had retired and she thought I'd be good at it.
Right.
And the gentleman that I was running against, he could barely string a sentence together. I'm not lying. Mm. It was unreal. And if I wouldn't have put my name in,
that would have been the representation.
Yeah. That would have been it.
Yeah.
For the entire district.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good because no. we make decisions on libraries. We make decisions on roads. We make decisions on everything.
Yeah.
So again, whoever you are, if you're paying attention to this radio show, you are more engaged already than anybody
right,
else.
Than the electorate in general.
If you tend to show up for spring elections, whether it's a big one or not, you pay attention more than the regular person,
mm-hmm.
which means if you're willing to learn, you're willing to listen, come on down.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I would rather have a rational, quality, individual run. I have people on the council that we're not on the same side. 90% of the time we're on differing opinions, but there is respect there
mm-hmm.
because I respect that the effort is put in, the communication is there, the needs and wants are stated clearly, and we may go at it in a committee or on the floor, but we will clean that up with one another there at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
That is what, it, you know, in Madison, they used to play softball together.
Yeah.
The reds and the blues will go out and have softball nights. You could get a beer at the end
that
of the day.
That seems so foreign now.
Why? That should be our goal.
Right.
Our goal should be to get back to that.
Yeah.
And that is rational. And the problem is it's going to take a revolution to get there.
Yeah. And I think like the remembrance that like we're the ones we've been waiting for. Like no one's coming to save
yeah.
the sinking ship except
yeah.
for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. We have got to get out there. So if you have ever given it a thought, I don't care who you are, reach out to your county party, reach out to someone you know is in that position and say, hey, what do you think?
Right.
And then allow some mentoring to take place. Let somebody put their arm around you. And
it's so fulfilling.
It too. Is.
It really is.
It is. And honestly, it'll broaden your horizons, bring a whole new flavor of people into your life that you never would have met otherwise.
Yeah.
And it adds to you. It is an opportunity not an obligation.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I have so enjoyed having you on the show. I wish I could have you more often, but I know what you're doing and you got to go do that.
I appreciate it.
But you are a pleasure to have around. Listen, as we wind down here, I just want to remind us, walking around the studio right now is Mr. Pete Schwabba. There was a little moment when I walked in saying, who are you? And he said, well, who are you? And
these I asked each other first.
Anyways, I'm very excited. He is in-house here. We're actually going to jump on his show a little bit later. But again, it's Thursday. It was a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. Rational Revolution. Just have some good conversations. Be willing to learn. Be willing to be wrong and share that with your friends. We appreciate you being here with us. And next week, I have... Yeah, I can't remember. It's a surprise. It's a surprise. I don't remember what next week is, but I assure you it'll be great. All right, you guys. We enjoyed having you here. Stick around for Mr. Pete Schwabba. He's walking in as we're walking out. Take care, everybody.